All right, I think we're good to go. So right now, I think it's actually recording right now. So we can do this whenever, and I'm sure when we edit it down, we can just take out like this first little bit. So I will host, and then we'll just go. It doesn't look like there's a lot of totals out right now. So I think half the totals are out. So looks like the very first three games. We'll obviously start from West Coast and then work East. So let's see how good of a hosting job I can do here. All right, give me a little bit here. I gotta think. Cut down all these tabs. All these how to record tabs. Going 3, 2, 1. Hello, Roto Grinders. Good morning. Actually, this is Killaby 2482 coming in. Obviously not Dan Bach, but we got a new show for Fantasy Fix. Actually, not really a new show, but we're filling in for Dan Bach, and it's gonna be me and Alan. Alan, I'm gonna have to ask you for your ID here. I'm a little I should have probably talked to you pre-show about your ID, but why don't you fill in the fans where they can find you?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is Alan Lem DFS, but I go by the username Fat Halpert. It's a reference to The Office. So yeah, big Office fan, and I started my RotoGrinders account several years ago when I was watching The Office, and so I didn't really give it a lot of thought, but here I am a couple years later with that username.
So as you can see, I'm a really bad host, but we do have a nice 8-game slate here for a Wednesday. So we don't have a lot of totals out. Just kind of looking at it from a macro point of view, we have obviously 8 games. 4 of the games don't have totals out, but the totals that are out are some pretty nice sized totals here. So definitely gonna be some good spots. I know you had a really good tweet about Memphis, and we'll just actually dive in right now to the Memphis at Philly game. Everybody got burned by Tyreke Evans the other night. So is this a situation where I know in your tweet you're saying do not mess with Memphis. It's a 7 o'clock Eastern start. Are you willing to go there for tonight?
Yeah, so the background of my tweet is we got burned by Tyreke Evans. A couple minutes after lock, he was a surprise scratch, and there was no news beforehand that he was even a rest candidate. So, my tweet, I don't know, joked about the idea of just deleting Memphis from your player pool. And so, honestly, I'm actually going to do that. I'm actually going to delete Memphis from my player pool. I know people listening to this probably may not do that. So the news we have right now is Marc Gasol is probable, Andrew Harrison is probable, and Ivan Rabb is probable. But the way that I'm approaching this is, even if I guess I'm gonna let Memphis beat me. Is there anyone on this team that I feel can actually beat me? And it's probably only Gasol and Evans. So at this point, I'm actually just gonna stay away. We probably should get news on lineups, but I'm willing to take my chance. I don't think that I'm willing to risk it at this point. I mean, what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously everybody's gonna have a bad taste in their mouth with the Tyreke Evans. I feel like with it being a 7 o'clock Eastern start, I'm comfortable with rolling these guys out. In fact, I really do like Tyreke Evans at 7600. I feel like it's a great spot at Philly. Just a spot where I want to have some exposure to him more so than anybody else. But Gasol, I don't mind Gasol in this matchup. MB's kind of been exposed on the defensive end of side. So yeah, I feel pretty comfortable in rolling out both Gasol and Tyreke. More so Tyreke than Gasol, but yeah, we probably still gotta wait on news. Gasol is probable and Andrew Harrison is probable. So but yeah, I think the most exposure that I want to have is Tyreke, and then kind of wait on news from there. But Dylan Brooks at 4700, he's been putting together some games, and I mean he's been consistently getting 32 minutes. So actually, last game 30 minutes, game before that 39. So a guy that seems to be hitting the 30 minute mark, and then his usage has usually been over 20%. So it's a spot where he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't offer too much in the rebounding and assist range. But outside of that, like, I mean, he's scoring the ball at will. Well, at least he's getting a lot of shots up, and that's what we like to see here. He's gotten 12 attempts, 13 attempts. Those are his low attempts, and then he's been hitting 17 and 18. So I think that's not a bad spot to go if you need a guy under 5K over on DraftKings. So is there any like cheap value that you're looking at here?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, we had Jarrell Martin and Jamichael Green as options the previous game with Gasol out. But I think, assuming Gasol and Rob are back and they're probable, I think that takes me off of both of them. But you actually really brought up a good point. I mean, everyone got burned by Tyreek. I think he was anywhere from 40 to 50% owned in tournaments, at least. I'm not even sure what it was in cash. But the idea that, you know, Evans is going to be low owned and possibly lower owned than usual because of, you know, the last time
the bias
us.
Yeah,
there's gonna be recency bias here. So I think from a tournament perspective, you bring up a good point. I think for me, I'm taking a stand against Memphis. You know, the second time they've done it this season, last time it was one of their forwards, right, that burned us. So it was Ben McLemore, sorry, was last time. So yeah, I think in tournaments you can definitely go Gasol and Evans here and Brooks.
Okay, and then on the other side of the ball, we got Philly here. Now we got Ben Simmons that's over 9K or right at 9K on DraftKings. Joel Embiid at 9,700. Are you looking to get any exposure between these two? I think Memphis, you know, one of those teams that's just always slow pace. I'm going to guess that the line is going to be near double digits. You know, it's an interesting situation because, you know, Philly is on a – are they on a back-to-back? Did they play today? No, they didn't.
They didn't.
But, you know, and then you have Memphis, obviously, with the Tyreek situation. They've had a day, and Tyreek's had multiple days of rest. So, yeah, I would expect Philly to be favored, you know, near double digits here. So any exposure to any of these guys, or is this kind of a stay-away spot?
I think Embiid against Gasol is probably a stay-away for me. I mean, you could definitely play – Embiid in tournaments just because of his upside, but I mean, I don't like to pick on Gasol. He's got the, you know, the best ranked DVP against centers. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Simmons has been just a beast lately. He scored at least 44 DraftKings points in four straight games, so I think he's tournament viable. But again, on a slate with you know, we're going to talk about LeBron and Giannis and Anthony Davis as well, you know, I expect a lot of these plays are going to go low owned and probably overlooked. So I think for an Embiid Simmons plays are probably tournament only. And, you know, if I'm going to expose you here, it'd probably be someone cheaper like Dario Saric or even Covington, who's actually been really good lately. But again, these are probably tournament only plays for me.
Yep, I totally agree. I don't think I'm going to have much exposure at all on the Philly side of things. You know, a guy like Bellinelli at 3,600, like, I've always felt like, you know, his first maybe 5 or 6 games, he was just really underperforming, and now we're kind of seeing, you know, the Bellinelli that we kind of got for Atlanta off the bench. So a spot where I don't mind sprinkling him in tournaments, but that's probably it. I'm not gonna spend a lot of money on the Philly side of things, just because Memphis is very defensive, low, you know, low pace, and then also, like, you know, there's gonna be some blowout concerns here. So. Anything else, or should we move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay, so another game with no line, Toronto at Cleveland. Now, this is obviously going to be big for playoff implications for both teams. Toronto going into Cleveland here. We got Fred VanVleet that's going to be questionable. DeMar DeRozan, both VanVleet and DeRozan didn't play last game. I do like DeRozan at 8K. Is there anybody else that you're looking at here?
Yeah, so I think Toronto kind of hinted at resting players. So we saw Lowry last game. DeRozan was on Tuesday. So I would expect both back for this game. So I think Lowry and DeRozan are definitely in play here. And this is kind of looking like a perfect game stack. I mean, Cleveland is in the bottom third of the league in terms of DVP for every position, I believe. So, you know, you could – I mean, honestly, everybody – every starter is in play here, and they've got one of the best second units as well. So – this is a game where I would definitely have exposure to Toronto if possible.
Yeah, is there a guy that you're siding with the most? Like, if it's between looking at DraftKings prices, Kyle Lowry at 7,800 or DeMar DeRozan at 8K, is there a guy that you're siding with there?
It would probably be DeRozan at that price. I've been playing shooting guards, against Cleveland all season, so I think that's a good spot. And I'd be curious if that injury designation stays with him. That might lower his ownership if people don't realize it was just a standard day of rest. So it'd probably be DeRozan for me.
Yeah, and I do like those the times that you get some rest in going with that guy, especially if people did think it was an injury. I mean, I would assume ownership will be lower just because he didn't play last game. A guy like Jonas Valanciunas to me is a little too pricey. Again, he's not seeing enough minutes for me. He's smashing in the minutes that he's getting. It's just a spot where at 6,600, I just don't know if he can consistently play off, pay off that price tag when he's only seen about half the game. Even though, I mean, Cleveland, just terrible defensively at every spot, like you said. So, you want to have any exposure to Jonas at all?
Yeah, strictly tournament only.
Okay.
And I should take back my statement that I said. I said every starter's in play. Don't play Anunoby or Powell, whoever's starting a small forward. So I
Right.
should clarify that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But someone like an Ibaka or a Jonas Valanciunas, I think they're more tournament only, like you said, because of the volatility in Valanciunas' minutes.
All right. Let's roll over to Cleveland here. I guess, I mean, you just play LeBron right now because he's just a man amongst boys. I don't see a reason to fade him over on DraftKings at 11-7. I think he's the main guy in this slate. I mean, unless you want to roll with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has a situation where the New Orleans actually is playing 5 games in 6 days. The first time I've ever seen this. The game that they're playing is the roof leak game. So they're playing actually 3 games in a row. So Drew Holiday was sick. I was expecting them to possibly sit some guys in this 3 game stretch, but yeah, LeBron just seems to be the guy to play. Outside of LeBron, where's your love for Cleveland here?
So it would probably be Kevin Love. I mean, his price was 3,500 on FanDuel the last game, and obviously no one expected him to come back so early. So FanDuel bumped his price back up to 7,300. So the edge there is gone on the site. But on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, the price is still fair. So I think I would have some exposure to Kevin Love if I were rolling out maybe a game stack here. But we also need to watch out for some Tristan Thompson news. He got upgraded to questionable, but I would
Okay.
still expect, Kevin Love to draw the start in this place.
Yeah, and let's say that also Kyle Korver was ruled out already. We're doing this podcast on Tuesday night, so Korver's already ruled out, and then Rodney Hood is questionable. So if obviously Korver's out, if Hood's out, that's going to open up some more minutes for the George Hill and the Jordan Clarksons, J.R. Smiths. Do you want to roll with any of those guys, or just strictly tournaments?
Yeah, it would be strictly tournaments, I think. And actually, I should go back to Kevin Love too. He only played 24 minutes in his start, and it was a hand injury. So I guess we should also be cautious there. Even we don't really know what his minutes limitation might be. So I do think LeBron is obviously the safest play here, and everyone else seems a little bit more like tournament only, maybe. Especially because I really respect Toronto's defense.
Sure. All right. Anything else here, or what about Jeff Green at 4,800 over on DraftKings? Is it a spot where now that Love's back out on the court, Jeff Green kind of just goes back to the same role that he was before Love,
Yeah,
or
I
when
don't.
Love was on the court, I should say.
Yeah, I don't really know if we need the Jeff Green on this slate, but I think we'll have enough value where we probably don't have to risk it.
It is something to note that he did play 40 minutes last game. And the game before that at Chicago was 42. The reason why I say 40 minutes, that's very interesting to me because of just I didn't expect him to put in 40. I thought he was going to go down to more like a 32, 36 role. So for him to soak up that amount of minutes, but the thing that I've noticed is obviously the usage goes down here. Kevin Love definitely soaking up a lot of that usage, so he's not going to get a lot of shots, and probably less rebounds for him too. So I don't know. I feel like his role is going to be very minimal moving forward here. So all right, so let's move on to the next game. Another game without a total. We got the Knicks at Miami, and I'm going to say this is going to be another pretty large number here. Knicks being at Miami, so New York's got we got Lance Thomas being questionable here, and then Emmanuel Mudiay is probable. What do we like for the Knicks here? It just seems like outside of Tim Hardaway, there's nobody getting minutes, consistent minutes. So can you roll with anybody, or is this just stay away outside of tournaments?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think you can't really trust anyone besides Tim Hardaway here. So, if Lance Thomas's status will impact whether or not Michael Beasley is even an option on the slate, but his minutes have just been all over the place. So, I wouldn't even trust him outside of maybe GPPs. And his Cantor, he's played fewer than 27 minutes in 8 of his last 10 games. So, his minutes are also trending down. We can't really trust Jeff Hornacek with Cantor's minutes. So, I almost rather play Kyle Quinn, if you really want some exposure here, but I don't think we need that. And then, like you said, the Moutier is probable, but the guards are just splitting minutes now. I think Moutier, Frankie, and Trey Burke, they're just all getting the minutes, and neither are really sort of excelling in any of these roles. So I think you're right. I think it's probably Tim Hardaway Jr., but Miami is such a good defensive team that I don't really know if I even want to go there. But any thoughts for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of like maybe Kyle Quinn exposure, I'm gonna probably stay away. It seems like Quinn is getting somewhat consistent minutes, and when I say consistent, it's like consistently around the 20-minute mark. But he's a fantasy point per minute just like crusher. And Miami, you really can beat Miami down low. So yeah, I want to get some exposure to Kyle Quinn in tournament formats only. So again, this is just gonna be a spot where when in the last month, when you have a team that's vying for ping pong balls versus a team that's vying for a playoff spot, it's just a stay away situation. I'd rather have two good teams playing each other or two non-playoff teams. Try and stay away, especially if that playoff team, the team that's home, is a playoff viable team. It just screams blowout, or it's just a spot where it's not a good situation outside of tournaments. So all right, looking at the Miami side of the ball, I mean, is there anything that sticks out here? I mean, there's one guy that I would love exposure to, and that's Josh Richardson, at 5,300 over on DraftKings. I mean, the guy is just he's a five category guy. He's nothing with like nothing high usage, but it just seems like he's so consistent grabbing steals and blocks. Last game, one steal, four blocks. The game before that, four steals, no blocks. So I mean, he's just very active on the defensive end, and the best part is normally those steals lead to like dunks on the other end or an assist for him. So, not a guy that's really great in a half court setting, but definitely like to get some exposure to him. He played 41 minutes last game. Was that that game go
That was
over
a,
to, yeah, that was the double
yeah,
overtime
overtime. Yep.
at Denver. So,
Yeah.
I do expect him to see somewhere around the 32 minute mark though. And at 5,300, I really like that. Is there anybody else that you're kind of eyeing up here?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard because all their stats are inflated because of the double overtime game. But,
Yeah.
I mean, James Johnson played 46 minutes and he scored a career high 31 points. So, I mean, Whiteside is out and Dwayne Wade's going to be out as well. So, I don't mind James Johnson. I don't even know if that's really chasing his points. I mean, he's been playing so well. So, I really like James Johnson. I love what you said about Josh Richardson. I think his price tag makes him viable on this slate. Kelly Olynyk's been really good lately too. So Bam Adebayo's been starting, but it's actually been Olynyk who's drawing all the usage in the second unit. He's had four straight games of over 20% usage. So he's someone I would probably look to now over Adebayo. And then the last guy that I've sort of have interest in, but I don't know if the price tag makes it viable is Goran Dragic. He's got a really good matchup against the Knicks, or they're bottom third of the league against point guards, but he's 7,300 on DraftKings. So I don't know, like on a slate with we're probably gonna pay up for the LeBrons, right? I don't know if we can go Dragic, and maybe we just get our exposure through like a Richardson or someone like a James Johnson.
Yeah, we're on FanDuel, he's 7K, and that becomes a little bit more viable. But okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, James Johnson, man, he's been the last three games been like, you know, flirting with triple doubles, which is crazy to say. 11 boards, 6 assists. Now, obviously, don't look at those stats too much because they were inflated with the 46 minutes. But in 25 minutes, the game before, he had 12, 7, and 5. So definitely a three category. I mean, throw in the five categories too because he's producing steals and blocks every single game too. So game before that, 18, 10, and 7. So, yeah, he definitely has a high, high floor with the five categories. So at 6,200, I think he's very viable. Over on FanDuel, he's a steal. He's 5,500. So yeah. Definitely get some exposure there. Again, I expect this line to be double digits. So it's going to be kind of scary. But, you know, possibly you could get some exposure in tournament formats for sure with, you know, a little bit of both of these sides, like with Kyle Quinn and then bringing it back with some Miami guys. But, yeah, it's just – again, a spot where we have one good team and one terrible team. I have troubles investing my money in those situations. So,
yep, fair point.
All right, hey, we finally got a line. So in Brooklyn, this is going to be a big one. Brooklyn is favored by 1 point. They're implied to score 111.3, and Charlotte's 110.2. So, we'll break down Charlotte here. What do we like here? Cody Zeller is questionable. It's a interesting spot with how high this, Brooklyn, yeah, this is a great, great, game to kind of stack, I would assume. I mean, the prices though, it seems, actually the prices are really good for, Charlotte here. What are you looking at here?
Yeah. So this game, they played this game a couple weeks ago, but the sure. team scored 236 points. So, I mean, I totally agree. This is a perfect game stack opportunity. So I think the first thing we need to figure out on Charlotte is the whole Jeremy Lamb situation. So, you know, Batum is doubtful. I would expect Lamb to start again, but his price rose this time.
Significantly.
So I still think he's cash game viable. I think he's 5,200 on DraftKings now. Is that right?
I'm sorry, on FanDuel he's 66. Yep. On DraftKings he's 5,400.
Yeah, so I think in DraftKings he's still cash game viable.
Mm-hmm.
On FanDuel that price kind of scares me. I don't think I would go there in cash games, but I mean I guess the question is in tournaments. I actually hit him on Monday in tournaments, and obviously that didn't pay off, but with his rising price, I mean, how are you going to approach this? Do you have any initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's for sure cash game viable. I think he's a really easy cash game play over on DraftKings. You know, outside of that, on FanDuel, I don't know how popular he's going to be at 6,600. So, you know, small forwards, a spot where we already like LeBron, and LeBron's going to be super highly owned. I don't see he's going to be very low owned over on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, where you're able to kind of work him in different spots, he should definitely be very, very popular at this price at 5,400. We assume obviously Batum's going to be out, and Lamb played 30 minutes last game, almost 30 right on the dot. So just a really good spot again at Brooklyn. Pace is going to be up, extra possessions. So, yeah, I really like Lamp here the most. But is there Dwight Howard? I mean, you can obviously attack Brooklyn at every spot, but my gosh, have centers been dominating Brooklyn? How interested are you in Dwight Howard? Especially if Cody Zeller's ruled out, does that give you, you know, maybe more minutes to Dwight, or even potential for Frank Kaminsky to come in for center minutes off the bench? What are you looking at there?
Yeah, so I mean, you're right. This is the best spot for centers. The Nets ranked dead last in DVP against centers. They allow the most rebounds per game to opponents. So this is obviously a spot where Dwight should excel in. He only played 27 minutes the last time these teams met, and he only put up 35 DK points. And I think the issue was that Jared Allen started, but it was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson who slid into the backup center role, and he was actually the one who dominated. So I think on paper, this looks like a good Dwight spot. I guess I'm a little worried if the Nets start running Hollis Jefferson. So I think for me, this is probably a game stack situation where I would have my exposure to Dwight Howard, because on paper, this should be a spot where he does well.
Yep. Is there anything else that you're looking at here for Charlotte? I mean, Kemba Walker, 8,700. You know, I guess I feel like everybody's in play here. It's just where do you want to cut your exposures? You know, how many guys is too much? Cash game viable. I think Dwight Howard for sure is cash game viable. I think even Frank Kaminsky becomes cash game viable if Zeller's ruled out. Should give him extra center minutes for sure when Dwight's off the court, and then even power forward minutes. Is there anything else that you're looking at here?
No, I don't think so. I think Kemba is viable. I would probably put him in my game stacks. That's probably how I get my exposure to him. And then, I mean, really deep play is Malik Monk. He's been getting the second unit backup point guard minutes. Just wanted to call it out because of the Batum injury, but I don't know if we'll need it in this slate. But again, it's a good pace-up spot if you're just looking for like this low-owned play. I think the Malik Monks and the you know, Marco Bellinelli's, they're kind of the same class where if you're just trying to find someone with upside, I think I would classify those two as good plays.
Yeah, and something to notice too with the second units, he's gone over 32% usage in the last two games. Both of those games, he's played basically half the game. So just dominating the usage there in the second unit, which, I mean, doesn't matter what unit you play against Brooklyn. You know, if you're getting shots off, you're going to be doing well fantasy-wise. So then off to Brooklyn here. This is another team that, you know, doesn't want to play any of their guys, it seems like, more than 30 minutes. And we kind of saw that last year. But, you know, this is also a team that's really bad, but they don't have incentive to lose because they do lose their draft picks. So what are we looking at here for Brooklyn?
Yeah, so I actually like the fact that they've moved Spencer Dinwiddie to the second unit. They've got a bunch of guards, right? They've got D'Angelo Russell, Alan Crabb, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert. So they're all vying for minutes. So that makes it a little bit hard to play any of them. But I think Alan Crabb's actually my favorite of the bunch. He actually went off for 46 DraftKings points the last time. And I remember that game because Meansy called that game. He included Alan Crabb in his core plays article. And he went off that game. So I think I don't know. I don't know if that's chasing it, but I do have some interest in Crabb here. Damari Carroll's been solid all season. You know, his price just is consistently affordable. So I think he's viable in all formats. And then, like I mentioned, Ronnie Hollis Jefferson is probably one of my favorite GBP plays on this slate. I don't think he'd be popular. You know, no one wants to play guys against Dwight, or even if he's in the second unit. But I do think there's a chance he starts, or at the very least, Jared Allen starts, and then Ronnie Hollis Jefferson comes in and really takes a ton of minutes to hang with Dwight.
Yeah, and I'm just going through minutes for Brooklyn because, you know, Brooklyn can kind of change up their minutes. It seems like RHJ and Damari Carroll are the ones lately getting over the 30-minute mark. So to me, I like Carroll the most out of those two, just mainly because of the price point of 5,900. It's not like I want to pay near a 7K price tag if they decide to pull minutes. So I think Carroll at 5,900. But I really like LeVert and Dinwiddie. I think this is the game for me in all formats that I like the most. So just a spot where, I don't expect to get, you know, more than 27, 28 minutes out of LeVert or Dinwiddie. If I get 30, 32, that's awesome. But this is a spot where at 5,500 and 5,600 on DraftKings, I want to get quite a bit of exposure. And then I think Damari Carroll squarely in play, even going up to like an RHJ or D'Angelo Russell, or like you said, Alan Crabb, all in play here. I'm siding towards LeVert and Dinwiddie and then Damari Carroll. So
yeah, I think that's interesting. You know, I think we're on different plays. I think it speaks to the fact that they're just, this team is deep, right? And we don't know where the production is going to come from. So if you are planning to run a game stack, maybe you run a couple of them. You know, maybe you include a Dinwiddie and a Crabb in one, or, you know, a Russell and a LeVert in another, maybe, you know, stagger the first and second unit usage. So there are different ways to go here.
Yeah, and one thing I should say is Dante Cunningham is questionable. He's he's not getting a ton of minutes, but I mean, obviously, with him ruled off, that would help someone like RHJ to secure his 30-plus minute role, and that's probably why he's been, you know, getting over 30 minutes a game. So, you know, that's the nice part. Like, if a guy like Dante Cunningham is ruled out, and you know you're going to get that, you know, that 4 extra minutes out of RHJ, I think he definitely becomes cash game viable. So. Just even a little bit of news like that helps RHA for sure. So, anything else that you got in this game, or should we move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay. So we got Clippers at the Bucks. Now, this is the last game of the slate that still hasn't come out with a line. We had the Clippers play tonight, and I don't think they had any injuries that I have to note. So, looks like they came out of that healthy. I feel like there's a few guys here that I want to get some exposure to on a site like DraftKings. You got DeAndre Jordan at 7,600. Obviously, the Bucks have been totally exposed at the center spot all year. Just a very bad rebounding team. DeAndre Jordan just being an athlete himself. I feel like his over-under has got to be somewhere around 16, 17 boards here. Just feels like a 20-20 spot for Jordan. And then Tobias Harris at 7,100, his price really lowered. He actually had a pretty bad game today. So I think I want to get some decent exposure to both of these guys, especially Tobias getting a lot of power forward minutes. The bigger that you are, it seems like the better you off you are versus the Bucks, which is how bad they are rebounding the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on DeAndre, and I saw you were just hanging out with him recently at the live final, and I was like, man, that guy's a large man.
Yeah.
He's large.
You don't realize it until, like, you go up to his waist, and, like, seriously, the jeans that he was wearing, like, his waist was so high, and I'm just like, yeah, just ridiculous. But, yeah, awesome video that we posted on Twitter. G-Nefer decided that he was going to get his forehead autographed, so... We threw up a video, really hilarious, and DeAndre was totally class act. I mean, very comfortable with, like, going up to people, meeting people the whole night. So, awesome dude, and great event by DraftKings for sure.
Nice. Yeah, no, that looks fun. Yeah, I think this is the perfect DeAndre spot. He went for double-double on Tuesday. He only played 32 minutes, so he should be fresh in this spot. Yeah, I think Tobias, I'm on the fence about it, right? So he played 25 minutes on Tuesday. He was dealing with the flu, so I don't know if that maybe helped or that was the reason he played fewer minutes than usual. So I think we just need to monitor the news, but you're right. This is probably a spot where they're going to need him, and the Clippers are just fighting right now for their playoff lives. So that's it for me, though. I know some people love Austin Rivers and Lou Williams. I just don't know if I can pay their prices on this slate where – you know, there are other guards that I want to focus on.
Yep, totally agree with you there. And the Sindarius Thornwell project of playing 30, 36 minutes, just standing in the corner, I don't care if he's 3,300. I'm not going to have any exposure there. So what about you? Have you been working him in? I mean, the minutes are there, but just, my gosh, he does not do anything, stays on the perimeter. I mean, it's just frustrating to watch that guy play.
Yeah, no, I remember our first show. You called him, so I think he's getting the minutes, right? It's just he's like the Tony Snell of their team, right? And they're just playing each other. So I think you don't play Thornwell, you don't play Tony Snell. You just find someone that has a higher usage rate, and
they could just agree to play 4-on-4 and just remove yeah. those two from the court, and I think we'd all be happy.
It's like the Spider-Man meme where they're like pointing at each other.
Yeah,
like, that's them.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. One guy that I do want to throw out is Milos at 4,200. I mean, still, you know, kind of minutes getting capped. It's just a spot where I feel not bad about getting some exposure, but probably keep it to tournaments. Again, I'm just going to hammer DeAndre and Tobias, and probably, I mean, both of these guys are very cash game viable. So let's hop over to Milwaukee. You got some decent prices over here, but just not any guys that I love. A situation that I've kind of been perplexed about is Jabari Parker just still not seeing the minutes uptick. Like I expected them to, you know, give him about half the run and then start working him into near a 30-minute role, to try to prepare him for the playoffs. But he's still stuck around 25 minutes. Price tag at 4,500 has me interested, and probably the most interest that I have is at Jabari. So what do you think here?
No, that's a good point. I actually hadn't realized his minutes have been sort of capped in a way, and he's been doing well, and I guess you could use him in cash games, I think, in tournaments, just given the fact that he's not going to get that 30-minute game. I think that takes me off him in tournaments. In terms of like how I view this slate at a high level, I think the first question I ask myself is like, what stud do I want to pay for? Do I want to pay for LeBron, Davis, or Giannis? And I think that's sort of the first question that I'm going to ask myself. And then the second question will probably be something like, do I want to play Jeremy Lamb in cash games or tournaments? So those are the top two questions. And I think right now I'm sort of leaning LeBron as my top play of the slate.
For sure.
And that kind of makes me think Giannis is going to go under-owned, right? And especially in tournaments. And he's totally fine for cash games. So I think I would probably have some Giannis. I definitely will have Giannis exposure in tournaments because everyone's going to focus on LeBron, and LeBron's matchup isn't necessarily the easiest as well. This is a much easier matchup for Giannis.
Yeah, and that's very true. I know LeBron's had issues with Serge in the past, but I feel like the way he's playing at just an all-time high level, like he's basically indefensible, and you're right, he is going to be super highly popular. Very interested to see where Drew Holiday's health is at tomorrow. Because if Holiday is out, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to have very high ownerships. And you're right, Giannis will have very minimal, just because all the people are going to be clicking on those two guys. So what do you think about John Henson at 5,100? He's actually, you know, kind of carved up a decent role here. You know, seeing, I guess he had only 20 minutes at Cleveland the other day, but I mean 34.5, 29.5, 27 minutes, 31 minutes. You know, if you start seeing 30-minute John Henson, you know, he's going to be able to get some decent fantasy points at 5,100. I think he's very viable.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know if this matters, but Tyler Zeller's probable. I don't know if that's going to impact his numbers or his minutes that much, but I agree with you. John Henson's probably in play as a really cheap option. So I was looking at the numbers. I think the numbers in terms of the matchup aren't necessarily great against DeAndre, but I know the argument against any center against DeAndre is that, you know, they'll need him in there, right? They'll need a guy like John Henson to put a body on him. So I think that's really what you're kind of banking on. The matchup isn't necessarily great, but he in theory should be in there for the minutes.
Yep, totally agree, because I mean, obviously the Bucks are a bad rebounding team. Doesn't matter what lineup they throw out there. So yeah. It's nice to know that the Clippers like to play their center 32 to 36 minutes. That should force Henson into a 30-minute role for sure.
Yeah.
Moving on, we'll go to Chicago here, where Denver comes to town. Denver is a 9-point favorite, over-under of 122 currently. So what do we like here? I mean, it seems like Denver's rotation's gotten a little bit tighter, which is nice. Some guys consistently seen in the low 30s, which was totally not what we were seeing last year, Denver, with like the Moutier project and Jamal Murray. It was just so frustrating to roster guys in Denver. Now it feels like, hey, I feel pretty confident rostering a Denver guy. What's your favorite piece of Denver here?
Yeah, so shout out to Jack Awesome on Twitter, but he pointed us that it's Serbian Heritage Night.
Ooh,
so if you are into narratives, this is the narrative for Jokic, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of believe in these narratives, right? We see Gortat always go off in Polish Heritage Night, and then Ben Simmons went off in Australian Heritage Night. So I mean, narrative aside, right? This is also a good matchup for Jokic anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's centers against Chicago. The Bulls are 23rd in DVP against centers. So, and the Bulls are a mess anyway. So on paper, this should be a good Jokic spot. And again, he's going to be low-owned as well, as we all focus on the other studs on this slate. So I love Jokic in this spot. Gary Harris, I think, is still out, so Will Barton should continue to start. But I kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like Jamal Murray in this game. The Bulls are the bottom third of the league against defending point guards, and we'll talk about the Bulls later, but they're just banged up at the point guard position. So this could be a place where maybe some tournament exposure for Murray. And I mean, I'd love to get your thoughts about Wilson Chandler. Like, I
think it cut out there. Yeah, so Wilson Chandler to me seems like the perfect tournament play for me. Just a guy that has been getting, you know, high 30 minutes. I mean, last four games, he had the Miami Heat, the double overtime, so we'll kind of throw that one out at 47.5. But then you have a 31.5, 40 minutes, and another 41-minute game. I mean, he's getting the minutes. It just seems like sometimes he's in the game, and then sometimes he kind of just stands off the corner. You know, the nice part about Wilson Chandler is he is, you know, he is getting his boards, his assists, usually throws in a steal or two here. So, I mean, the nice part is he's soaking up minutes, and if he goes up against a bad Chicago Bulls team, you expect him to at least get some cheap boards, because Bulls, again, bad rebounding team. So I don't know if I like him as much outside of tournaments, but really, all starting five here, I think, are totally in play. Totally agree about Jamal Murray. I like Will Barton. Going to want to have some exposure to Jokic, and I think Jokic won't be popular because at 9,600, he's in a weird spot. But mm-hmm. I mean, the offense is really, really running through him as of late. He's been phenomenal, playing lots of minutes. Obviously, again, throughout the game against Miami, but still he had 35 and 38 the last two games. So always it's nice to see the offense run through him, like where he can almost tickle a triple double whenever he wants. So
yeah, I think because it's going through him, I'm a little bit worried about Millsap. Like, I was looking at stats, he's just not taking any shots. Like, the double overtime game they played last outing, he played 45 minutes and he only took 11 shots, and that's capping his fantasy production. So he's probably the one guy on the team that I'm a little bit concerned about, that I probably won't have much or if any exposure to.
Yeah, and the funny part is they are, I mean, it felt like when Millsap came back, it just was like killing the Joker. And now yeah. It's like, now the offense is running through Joker, and now it's like, yeah, Millsap's kind of almost taking a step back. Just his usage, you know, when he was playing the 25, 20, you know, 6 minutes, was always in the 20s, and now last few games, 15%, 20%, 22%, so he's just not getting a shot off. So, yeah. Yeah, probably stick to the guards here for me, and then maybe some Joker. But yeah, Jamal Murray and Will Barton for sure. I want to get some exposure to. All right, over on the Chicago side. Now, Chicago's been going through lots of injuries. So it's going to be interesting to see who they have available. Now we have Antonio Blakeney that's questionable. So this is going to be a very, very tight rotation. I think there's a lot of guys in play due to the rotation here. So it should be interesting to see which bodies are healthy. But, I mean, you got Denzel Valentine that had a monster game during the DraftKings Championship, which was Saturday. And then he followed it up with just a total dud. So curious to see where his ownership – or let's just choose between Cameron Payne and Denzel Valentine. Which one would you be siding with here?
I would probably go Payne in cash games and then Valentine in tournaments. So, you know, the recency bias is going to be against Valentine. I played him that last outing where he played only 22 minutes and he put up a dud, and it wasn't foul related. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking it could have been possibly the blowout. It could just be the fact that Bulls are tanking. So sure. I do like Valentine in tournaments. And then, you know, Cameron Payne is going to see another set of solid minutes here because Dunn's out, Levine's out, Blakeney's questionable. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they might even just bring Jerry and Grant back into the rotation if they need a backup guard. But yeah, I think Payne's viable in cash games. I just worry about his upside, even if he gets, you know, 30 minutes still.
Yeah, I think this is a total situation where you wait on the news here. You figure out who's in the rotation, because this is an interesting spot. You know, I love when I'm down to tight rotations. Obviously, Denver, pretty fast pace style game here. And, you know, with the game being at Chicago, I don't see this blowing out too much, even though it obviously can. I do like this spot because you're getting guaranteed minutes, and there is no guy priced more than 6,700. You got Bobby Portis at 6,700, and he's definitely firmly in play. Definitely the highest usage guy on the Chicago Bulls team. So, yeah, it's just a spot where I'm gonna have exposure. It's just waiting on the news, understanding rotations based upon the news. But I totally 100% agree that Cameron Payne is my favorite play. I think Denzel's even cash game viable. A guy like David Nwaba. Again, just wait to see who's in the rotation and then go from there. Blakeney, I want to say Blakeney kind of like fell on himself like the other day and hurt his elbow. So, he's highly questionable. I don't see them, exposing him any more risk if he's not ready to go. So, yeah, love tight rotations here, and this is a spot where I think you can get some cheap value.
Yeah, and speaking of value, I forgot to mention Noah Vonleh. He actually made his return yesterday, so 2 days ago, 2 days ago. So like he actually played 26 minutes, which was kind of a surprise since we didn't have any news, I think, before lock, and no one knew what to do with him. He had almost put up a double-double. So in terms of value, he's probably one of the better forward plays on the slate. So something to keep in mind. I was a little bit worried, of Vonleh playing the second unit with Portis, but it doesn't seem to have impacted their performances, at least the first time together.
Yeah, totally agree. At 4,100, I mean, the last three games that he's played, I mean, he saw 26, 27, or 26, 32 and a half, and 27. So, yeah, I mean, if they're gonna run him out for a little bit over half the game, at 4,100, you definitely gotta like him. Anything else that you got here, or should we move on?
Are you the Felicio whisperer? Like, I don't know what to do with him. He's only 3,800, but he's been playing 30 minutes a night now. So I can't do it just because I don't trust him. But I mean, is he
Yeah,
even in play?
I mean, I've kind of been staying away from him of late. Again, I usually wait to see what the starters are in Chicago and then go from there. You're right. I mean, he's been getting consistent minutes. Yeah, this is a spot where I don't mind working him in. Can I trust him in cash? No. It's weird. I feel like I can trust Vonleh more with his role. But again, I do want to. This will be a spot where I want to get some at least news, beat writer news, Twitter. I'll definitely be looking at Chicago for my value guys to get in the LeBrons and the Anthony Davises. You'll notice that in the last month with teams tanking and different rotations happening, you're almost forced into a stars and scrubs lineup, and it's almost always a couple teams that are really hardcore tanking where you're gonna have 3 to 4K guys that are playing 30 plus minutes and they have a decent usage, a decent role on the team, and it almost forces you in to playing stars and scrubs. So based upon the news tomorrow, I feel like that's the almost the route that I'm thinking of going, and the Bulls is where I'm gonna get my a lot of my value to make that happen. So
Okay, I like it.
all right, let's go to Indiana at New Orleans. We got a 221 total. New Orleans only favored by 1 point. Now, like I said, this is the game, the infamous game of the leak in the roof that killed everybody's lineups. Yeah, just you always have one of these games every year, and now it really hurts New Orleans because they've played or they're in a stretch where they're playing 5 games in 6 days. This is going to be a and then they got 3 games in a row here. So, just looking at New Orleans side, first off, is obviously the health of Jrue Holiday is really huge. I guess he was really sick today, so can he come back tomorrow? Sure, but. They definitely ruled them out pretty early today. So, interesting spot. I guess we'll talk to the Indiana side first. What is there anything that you like here? Kind of staying away, or what you looking at here?
It'd be kind of funny if they have another leaky roof situation. That would be crazy.
Don't
That
do
would be
it. Don't do
crazy.
it to us.
Oh man, that would be crazy. Okay, but yeah, I think Turner is definitely viable in tournaments. I actually really love Miles Turner here. I mean, you can definitely play guys against the Pelicans. It's just that's just fantasy production all over the place. So Turner's my favorite play on the Pacers. He scored at least 34 DK points in 5 of his last 6 games, and then I think Sabonis is doubtful, so they're going to need his size. He just needs to stay out of foul trouble. That's really the only thing that's going to stop Miles Turner.
I think that
Oled,
oh, go
yeah, go
ahead.
ahead.
Oh, the one big news that we saw last game with the Pacers was they decided to start Collison.
That's right.
And with that start, I ended up changing my exposure and started buying him in a lot of spots. It worked out. It's not like he had an amazing game, but 5 for 10, and then he just he got 4 boards, 8 assists. I just felt like this was just a really good spot for him. Against the Pels are bad at all 5 spots defensively. They're a pace-up game. This game's going to be close. This is another game that you can potentially just stack. Stay away from some of these scarier games. You have multiple games that we said earlier, the Memphis at Philly, the Knicks at Miami. A lot of those are going to be potential blowouts. So, don't get exposure there, but, you can kind of almost take this slate from an 8-game slate down to a 6-game slate really quick. And then even the last game of the night, I don't know how much exposure you're going to want in that. So another game where if you're rolling out tournament lineups, I don't mind stacking this both ways and just putting a bunch of value in.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, Collison's, you're right. His price is just too cheap. So in terms of probably point per dollar, he's probably a better play than Turner. And I think because I have interest in Collison, I probably won't play Oladipo. And again, Oladipo is going to be one of those tournament guys like an Embiid or a Ben Simmons where his price is kind of awkward, I don't think anyone's going to play him either. And he's obviously got 50 point upside. So if you want to chase that, you can definitely do that. Maybe in a tournament. I don't think his price is fair for cash games.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I think the cash game plays here will be Miles Turner and then Collison. And then if you go with anybody else, I'd probably stick in them in tournaments. Let's see, Thad Young. Thad Young is in a decent spot, obviously. 36 minutes, 27, 30, 31 last 4 games. Mm-hmm. So him seeing that amount of minutes, I like this role. 5,800 seems a little expensive, but if he's giving me 30 plus minutes, I could have exposure to him in tournaments, but probably nowhere near my cash game lineup.
Yeah, so I actually had a kind of a question mark next to his name because I wasn't really sure what to do with him, because he's also kind of like that. He's kind of like, what's a good comparison? Maybe John Henson, where he's gonna be needed out there, but I just don't know if I really want him. So I think he's kind of a secondary play where if I have 5,800 left over and I need a guy, I think Thad Young is fine.
Yeah, Thad Young is usually a guy that I do not play unless there's injuries. So he's just one of those guys that I don't never feel comfortable with his role in the offense. And unless there is an injury that makes him, at least like the second option. It just seems like, with Oladipo, Miles Turner, and now Collison starting, like he's kind of like the fourth option in this offense. And if he's not rebounding and putting easy putbacks, like there's just not a role for him too much in this offense. So let's flip it over to the New Orleans side. And again, it's going to really matter about Jrue Holiday. Obviously, if Jrue Holiday is out, bunch of value opens up. We kind of saw it today where Ian Clark scored quite a few points off the bench. Etuan got it going in the second half. But Rajon Rondo, man, if you didn't have Rajon Rondo exposure today, you're not feeling good about yourself. So he had the big game. Obviously, Anthony Davis's usage goes up by I ran it today, and I believe it went up by 0.25 with everybody off the court. So with Jrue Holiday off, I mean, that's a huge increase, 0.25 fantasy points per minute, and that's when looking at FanDuel. So what do you like most here on New Orleans? Let's just act like, should we just say Jrue will act like